Be very long, I promise. And I dedicate it especially to the parents of these children, but it's something all of us need to understand. So why don't we bow our heads for a word of prayer, and then I'll share it with you. Father, I just want to thank you tonight. You have a special love for children. When the disciples thought you were too busy for the children, you gently but firmly rebuked them and said, "Let them come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." Oh, Lord, we pray that you'd give us the simple, trusting faith in you that little children have. What a joy, Lord, the great joy of my life has been raising four of them. The joys, the laughter, the smiles, the tears, and the trust that each child gives to a parent reminds me tonight of the trust that you want us to give to you. Each of us, Lord, is your children. The Bible says that as a father has compassion on his children, so you have compassion on those who fear you. We pray, Lord, that you just remind us of your precious faithfulness tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know what you thought about when you saw the tsunami. I don't know what you thought about when you see all the things that are going on in our world today. But when I reflect on the things going on in the world, I see a lot of uncertainty. I see a lot of change. I see a lot of things that go on in our world every day that they don't make sense. It's hard to know in the world you and I live in today, what can we trust? What can we put our hope in? Where is there a sense of sureness, a sense of hope, a sense of an anchor to our lives? God is the one sure thing that I've discovered over the last 30 years of my life and the last 25 years being a parent, the one sure thing that I can hang on to. He's the one sure thing in the midst of all the changes, the ups and downs of life, all the confusion, all the perplexities, there's one certainty in life, and that's God and the Word of God. When I first started my journey at 19 years of age for Christ, I had a lot of people make fun of me. I had a lot of people belittle me. People that were close to me, people that I loved, people that I trusted. But they didn't want to go in the same direction that my life was going, and that's really their prerogative. But for some reason, they decided to make it their prerogative to make fun of me and belittle me. Fortunately, it only drove me harder to God. Because I had experimented enough in life, I had tried enough things in my life, even though I was only 19, to realize that everything else in life left me empty and left me hollow and seemed so meaningless. Now, of course, 30 years later, I look out at the world and I am so incredibly thankful that I chose the path of God, that I chose the Word of God. When I was a young child, there was a man. He wrote a book. The man's name was Dr. Benjamin Spock. An entire generation of people banked their children's future on the advice of a man who now says everything he wrote was wrong. And if he could take it back, he would. I was fortunate enough to have a mother who loved God. I was fortunate enough to have a mother who was committed to the Bible and the Word of God, and she ignored Benjamin Spock. My relatives did not. My aunts and uncles did not. They took the advice of Dr. Spock. They raised their children after the advice of Mr. Spock. And all of my cousins have abused either alcohol or drugs, been in jail, And every one of them have been divorced at least once. Their lives are broken. In Psalms 19, we find these words. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commandments of the Lord are clear, giving insight to life. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true, each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to those who hear them. There is great reward for those who obey them. You and I living in a time, if I can be really, really blunt and really honest, when many, many parents are sacrificing their children on the altar of material gain. I have dealt with, and I mean this, I'm not exaggerating, thousands of people. I've been pastoring almost 20 years. I've been working with people almost 30 years. I travel around the world. And I've spoken to thousands of people. Multitudes have told me, Mark, when I was growing up, my parents never had time for me. They weren't bad parents, they just never had time. They were always making money. They were always making money. They were always making money. I've had multitudes of young people tell me, Mark, I never knew anything about God. I certainly never saw it in the lives of my parents. There is great reward in honoring God. As I look back on my life, and three of my children are basically grown, two are married. I have one who will be 16 in just a few weeks. I can honestly say to you that it was the advice of the Word of God that provided the insight, and it promises here, insight that I needed to be a father. It was the understanding that I had as I studied the Word of God and as I saw that God is a father. And so I asked myself, well, what kind of father is God? And what kind of things does God do with His children? And I studied that and I thought about it. I've read the book of Proverbs, which has probably, as far as one book in the Bible, it has more parenting advice than any other just one book. And I read it over and over, hundreds of times. I've read it thousands of times. I underlined every verse on parenting, every verse on relationship with your children, and I studied them and I prayed about them and I asked God to change me. Yeah, I'd be the first one to admit I brought a lot of bad habits into my Christian life. I brought a lot of things into my Christian life that if it was not for God and the restraining influence of God in my life, I would have destroyed my children's lives. I mean that. I'm not exaggerating. My sister married a man who said he was a Christian. In the next 4 years, he beat her regularly, severely. And finally, their marriage ended. He had a terrible, terrible temper. I remember when I went out to help my sister, and I sat down with her husband. I was a pastor at the time. It was a very frightening experience because he threatened to kill her if she ever left. And he kept a loaded 45 in the house, and I was afraid that he might kill me. But I knew I had to talk with him. I knew I had to help him understand that I was not trying to come out and wreck his home, but I was trying to come out and save his life and his wife's life, my sister and the children. So I sat down with him. My knees were knocking. My hands were shaking. I took a friend with me. Thought if I died, maybe we could die together. I am really serious about that. His name's Doug Patterson, and he's come in here and spoke a few times. And with tears in my eyes, I told my brother-in-law, Tom, I said, Tom, you may not think I understand what bad temper's like, but I do. Because I have one. And if you don't, start submitting to God and repenting and turning from this, you're going to destroy your life. It's only Christ and submission to Christ that restrains the most destructive elements in the human species, and that's our selfishness. Our selfishness. And unless you and I make a commitment, a dedicated commitment, to say, Lord, your law is perfect, and I'm going to let it revive my soul. Your decrees are trustworthy, and I'm going to let them make me wise by studying them. Your commandments are right, and they bring joy to my heart. Unless we make these commitments, unless we understand this, there is a warning to those who hear them. They're a warning. The warning is, if you're not careful, if you're not careful, if you miss God, if you miss His Word, you missed everything. You miss life. Over the years, when I first founded Evergreen Church in Bloomington, and a number of people started coming, bringing their family, bringing their children, and occasionally they'd bring their moms and dads in their 70s and 80s. And occasionally I would do series on parenting. I can't tell how many times I would have 70 and 80-year-old people come by me at the door with tears in their eyes and say, oh, Mark, where were you when I was 20? I would have given anything to know what you've just shared with my children here today, and I'm so glad they're here to hear it because I missed God. I didn't follow the principles of the Word of God. And I've ruined, in many ways, my children's lives. Now, Christ, fortunately and miraculously, can put a life back together. That's the beautiful thing. Jesus Christ can take a broken life. You know the little old nursery rhyme? Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's soldiers and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. That's because the king's soldiers weren't Jesus. But Jesus can put your life back together again. His Word can transform your life. And I'd like to encourage each of you lovingly and challenge each of you, go change your life. Go change your life. Don't listen to what this world has to tell you. Don't listen to their advice because it will ruin your life. Yesterday in the paper, in the USA Today, which is not a God-fearing newspaper, this is what they wrote, a whole article in the money section, that multitudes of people today are in terrible debt. We're the greatest debtor nation, and Americans are the greatest debtor people in the world. Do you know where multitudes by the millions are going to find help? Faith-based financial counseling. Biblically-based financial counseling by the millions. And it's changing their lives. This world, I'm not exaggerating, wants to ruin your life. Their advice will ruin your life, your marriage, your finances. All they want is to take, 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 take from you. God wants to give. He wants to bless you. He wants to work in you. He wants to guide you. He wants your children to be a great blessing. He wants your life to experience genuine joy. That doesn't mean you won't have trials. It doesn't mean you won't have difficulties. But there's lots of them that you can avoid because you're following God's Word. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. And I'd just like to ask you, as I'm praying tonight in your own heart, you just tell the Lord, maybe there's some business you need to do with God. But I think tonight would be a great night to just tell God, you know, Lord, I haven't been really taking you all that serious. I rarely crack the Bible. I rarely read it. And I certainly don't live it. Lord, I want to change that. Tonight, I want to change that. Father, I just want to thank you tonight for each person that's here. Lord, I wished, you know, sometimes I wished I could just live their lives for them. I wished I could make choices for them. I wished I could make decisions for them. But I can't. I wish that I could come alongside, not to be intrusive, but to be helpful to each parent when they're dealing with that little four-month-old or that eight-month-old or that two-year-old or that four-year-old. They're not sure what to do. I wished I could be there, but you know, Lord, what's better? You're there. You're there, and your word is there, and your spirit is there, counseling us and guiding us if we have an ear to hear and a heart to listen and a commitment to obey the written word of God. Thank you again, Lord, for each child and each parent. Oh, I pray for these parents. Give them the courage to train their child. Give them the courage to do what the world tells them they shouldn't do, but God tells them to do. Bless each person here this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.